If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret, searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
The Sound Podcast is part of the OSIRIS Network. OSIRIS is a growing community of music and culture podcasts, connecting music fans like you with conversation, commentary, and of course, lots of music. Check out OSIRISPod.com for more great podcasts. The show starts now. I first heard about Anderson East from a friend in New Jersey who I trust implicitly with music recommendations and such. He's the guy that turned us on to Marcus King, so as you can imagine, when he says I need to check something out, I usually obey and listen. We actually posted pictures on our Instagram channel back in January of Anderson's gig at the Bowery Ballroom. Truth is, I cannot say enough about this young dude's tremendous talent as a singer-songwriter, but to say he's exclusively that doesn't do the whole tale justice. Anderson's vocal stylings will make you think of R&B and soul singers of days gone by, but his lyrics will conjure up images of love lost, good times, and plenty more. Like many of the artists we talk to these days, we can't definitively put Anderson in one bucket, and as you'll soon hear, he doesn't really care, frankly. We sat down at the legendary Horseshoe Tavern in Toronto amidst a grueling tour for both Anderson and his band. Our conversation started when I asked Anderson about accomplishing so much at just 30 years of age.
Not really, because, you know, I've been actively pursuing this in some form or fashion since I was 13 years old. Definitely over half of my life. But, yeah, I think it's pretty incredible the way things have gone and have progressed. You know, I've got a lot of really close friends that are far more talented than I think I would ever be. And you know, for us to be at this point, I'm extremely grateful and shocked.
You are a little shocked.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's, you know, it's like hitting the lottery.
You're in the middle of this five-month grind, and we just talked about the weather before we started. Mm-hmm. What have been some of the highlights for you? I mean, you are really doing North America across from sea to shining sea, as they say.
Yeah.
What have been some of the highlights for you on this tour?
Well, we did. You know, I'm excited about playing here in Toronto tonight, and you know, I think one to cross off the list was we sold out the Fillmore in San Francisco, and that one was a lot for me. And but man, the whole thing has just been pretty incredible. Everybody's been really supportive, and the crowds have been far better than I could have ever expected.
I remember hearing from friends who were at the New York show when this whole thing kicked off, mm-hmm. being coming out in a much bigger way. That room was unbelievable, that, you know, people who had never heard you were cheering and singing and having a great time. I mean, how overwhelming is that to see a packed room enjoying your music and you know, all this joy and you know, stuff that you're working on?
I don't know. It just gets you a little bit more jazzed up.
Right.
You get a little more gas in the tank, and you know, there'll be days that you're just like, man, I don't want to do this shit. I'm tired. And then you walk on stage and it's just electric. And it's like, okay, well, this is what it's all been for.
Right.
And it's a blast. You know, we're having a lot of fun, and the band is smoking right now. And we're just about to announce a whole another run of dates. And so we're pumped up, man.
Your songs are ultimately all soulful, but you put a specific spin on every track, each one really different from the other. Are you purposely avoiding preconceived buckets from the record label or radio, or is it just the sound that fits the lyrics? Like, how do you come up with the hook, the melody, the whatever to each song? Because they are so different, and, you know, reading your bio and all that publicity stuff, you're an R&B singer, you're a soul singer, you're a country, that doesn't come across in any one way on the record. It really is a melange of stuff. Do you think about that when you're writing the songs, how something's going to come out?
I don't think of it like while I'm writing. You know, I'm actually pretty good about just letting a song come out and then just die.
Right.
And not really worrying about like tinkering with it or any kind of thing like that. I don't get really possessive over songs. And I think that's where, you know, kind of when you're talking about the, you know, the sonics or the genre bit of it, it's all because there's no preconception going into the actual record making process. It's literally just an acoustic guitar and or just a, you know, a voice memo on my telephone.
Right.
And then from there, it's just us, you know, four or five guys in a room, and we just figure it out right then and there. And then once it happens, like, that's the record of it. It's just, the record is discovery.
Right.
And then the now, like, playing the songs live, that's starting to explore them.
But given your background in music engineering and understanding how sonically things are going to sound at the end, do you think about that stuff before, or is it literally you sitting down with a pad of paper and acoustic guitar or with your phone and just screaming into the phone?
I don't ever try to think of writing as this, like, I'm writing for the record.
Right.
You know, or I'm trying to be, like, very cohesive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just literally trying to write a good song.
Right.
And then the record part comes in, and then you like assess, you know, your collective pool and be like, okay, well, this starts to work. And then after you start recording a couple songs, you're like, okay, well, I have this palette that I've already started using. So at what else can I, you know, push a little further or like rest within that same, you know, linear scope? And then this, like, the, you know, the narrative, if you will, of what the record is starts to present itself to you, and you just keep lending, you know, your paintbrush to it.
So that's interesting that you mentioned that, because I'm curious about the title for the follow-up to Delilah, Encores, which has been out now for 5 months, 4 months. How did you come up with the title for that? I mean, there's different ways. It's obviously the encore to Delilah, but there's another story, right, to the song,
yeah,
on that album.
Well, you know, going from the whole, like, trying to figure out what the narrative of the record was, you know, at the time we were just playing so much. I mean, very similar to how we are now. And so we would go in to record, and I think it took us like the second session, and we'd finally gotten kind of like a groove to where we had like two or three songs maybe. And I told Dave Cobb, the producer for the record, I was like, I just want every song to be able to feel like it's the encore.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be this grandiose production with, you know, these lush strings or just have this intimate, quiet moment.
Right.
So, yeah, that's kind of where all that stemmed from.
Living where you do now in Nashville, you're immersed in country music. And certainly that influence is prominent, but again, it's not about making a country record. It's about making a record of songs and wherever the songs take you. I mean, we've talked about it already, but it really is wherever the songs take you. It's where you go, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the song dictates everything.
Right.
And ultimately, a song can be anything. It can be any genre. It can be, it's just what you try to, you know, what feels good to you. And so that's really what it is. It's, you know, the way it comes out for me, and most times just incredibly naturally, is just what you hear.
Right. But there does seem to be this resurgence of, and I'm putting in air quotes for people who can't see, country music, whether it's Chris Stapleton or Sturgill Simpson, who are terrific singer-songwriters in their own right. But they're not country musicians, but we seem to be putting them in that bucket because I guess they're Southern, because they have twang to their sound. But, you know, when Sturgill comes up on stage and there's horns and yeah, everything else going on, or when Chris Stapleton's on Saturday Night Live and Sturgill joins him on stage, that's not country music. That's rock and roll, right?
I don't know.
Right.
I'm not the one to, you know, I'm not a critic. But, you know, I think I think at what they do, they are honest people singing honest songs and doing it their own way. And I think that is the most rock and roll thing that could be being done right now. With that Marty Stewart quote, like the most outlaw country thing you could do is actually sing country music. I think those guys are, they get into that.
Yeah. So what are you listening to when you're on the road? I mean, you like we said, you're on the road constantly.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that you have iPhone and earbuds in your ear just to get away from everything. What are you listening to? You're a big hip-hop guy too, right?
I do like a lot of hip-hop. I just got back into Mos Def, and he's fantastic. I've been on some like Bahamas and Julia Michaels. I think she's really great, like this kind of more of this upfront kind of pop thing. I really like Dr. Dog. I've been getting into them. I've never really listened to them, but they're really fantastic.
Bahamas actually played this stage. He's from Toronto.
So. Oh, no way.
Yeah. So there you go. You have something. You'll have something in common.
Very cool. Yeah, he's his melodies are spectacular.
He's great. Yeah. How do you keep your voice in shape? I mean, that is ultimately your instrument.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go on day after day busting it out on stage? And you don't, from what I understand, you don't leave anything.
I try my best not to.
So how do you keep that thing going?
A lot of fingers crossed. Mm. And I think it's just I quit smoking, so that's helped. Mm-hmm. But damned if I miss them, man. that and just staying hydrated and getting a lot of sleep. But that's about it, man. This is our seventh day on, eighth day on without a day off. So it's just like, keep it going. And, I think, over time, like my voice has kind of gotten used to the stresses of it, and it's kind of adapted. We were in Sacramento. We were supposed to have a show in Sacramento, and the day before we were somewhere really high in elevation, and my voice just was shot. And so I went and got a scope down my nose, and oh my God, it was the worst damn thing ever. And I was like, I've ruined it. It's all gone, like polyps or nodules, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
He was like, no, you just need to take some antacid pills before you go sleep. I was like, seriously? That's it.
Right.
And so that's been like the biggest helpful thing I've done.
Thanks so much. What's next? You're going to do the rest of this tour, and it doesn't end until like early May, I think. And then you're going to announce more dates?
Yeah, we're going to announce some more. I don't know when this comes out, but I think the 14th.
Right.
So we got a whole nother... It'll go throughout the next year.
And you're doing Lollapalooza in the summer, which is...
Yeah, we'll do that in Chicago. And we're going to go overseas and... end of May and June and be over there for about a month.
And are you going to write another record?
I've already started. I got one. So I'm pretty I'm okay with that right now.
Right.
But I'm going to take a little bit of time to really think about this one.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it, but I'm also just like really excited of living in the moment of these songs right now. So.
And collaborations? Any more collaborations that you don't know until somebody like Ed calls you and says, "Hey man, we need you for something."
Yeah, I hope that works out. My friend Foy Vance, me and him have been talking about getting together in some capacity. So I'm sure there'll be something, and hopefully, things that I could never imagine would present themselves, just as they did on this last record.
Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
Awesome record. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate that.
You need to hear Anderson to really get the vibe and all the things going on in his music. We've put together a great Spotify playlist that's available on our website, but also on our Spotify channel. You'll also need to catch Anderson live and keep up with all his music's going on. You can do that at AndersonEast.com.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.
Osiris.